Loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's the Cube Show.
This is All Born Radio.
I am a good person.
Man, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God want us to win the World Championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I?
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man.
ValleyEquipmentRents.com. ValleyEquipmentRents.com. Website's been completely redone. If you're looking for an excavator, skid steer, pressure washer, maybe aerial and material handling, like scissor lifts, tow behind lifts, booms and knuckle booms, maybe contracting equipment like pumps, plumbing, compaction, air compressor tools, floor care equipment, generators, they're all available at Valley Equipment Rental today, located right there on South Memorial Parkway near Airport Road. Call Ross and Tanner and the guys at 256-964-6081. They can get you set up for anything you need, for any project that you have at Valley Equipment Rental. Go to valleyequipmentrents.com. So yesterday we talked about shoes and some of your shoes that you've added.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I thought it was intriguing yesterday. Arky and I were looking at shoes after the show. I'm trying to help him find cooler shoes in his $50 range.
Hey, the I didn't even say $50 range. You're just trying to help a brother out. That's all.
The difficult part is Arky wears a 4E shoe.
He's got a wide foot.
Now, the problem is not many companies make their cooler shoes in different widths.
Finding that out.
But then we get to one particular shoe, and Arky points it out, and he says, I just think this shoe is immature.
Did I?
And I was like, what? How can a shoe be immature? And he's like, how can a grown-up walk around with this on their shoe? And I said, I think I was, like, distracted watching the film or something.
Oh, yeah, now I remember.
I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, look at this thing. Look at this air bubble on the back of this shoe. Like, who walks around with that? And it was this pair of old, like, all-black Air Max, not even, like, cool Air Max, like, just old Air Max. He's like, that's how immature, how childish
it's weird.
Is it to walk around with this air pocket on your shoe?
It's weird. It's like it should have a light up underneath it, like you walk with your light, like little teenagers.
So today, I decided to wear my Air Max Vapors in for you today.
Oh, man.
Basically have it throughout the entire bottom
of
the shoe.
You're so immature. What is that?
Yeah, I wore these just for you today because you think like you feel like they're children's shoes. They're Nike Air. So you think everyone who wears Nike Airs that has anything of the air pocket showing immature.
You're getting a little presumptuous on my entire argument.
That's what you said yesterday.
Because these had just sort of like a sliver of it at the back. Like it was a sliver and then it was like still sole underneath it. And then like the bottom of the shoe still went completely underneath it without the air bubble. The air bubble was just sort of in the middle at the very small part. It's just weird. It is weird looking. Those also look weird to me, too. I will probably never own that version of Nikes.
A lot of different reasons you would never own these. But
oh, really?
The air pocket's not the one.
What's the big reason?
The price tag.
Oh, what's the price tag of those?
$179.
Not even a little bit.
So why do we have to get into it?
Why can't you
just trust me when I say you would never own these?
I'm just interested, Cole. I'm trying to do good radio.
I'm just trying to help here, you know? You just don't want to be helped is the problem.
You know what today is, Cole?
Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. It is Tradition Tuesday on Tom Abraham's show.
What?
But unfortunately, it will not be very traditional because it's pay-up time for Tom Abraham on the Tom Abraham show.
Big day today.
He's got a Okay, so back at the NCAA tournament, it was our show, me and Cole, picking the tournament versus his show. He, Tom Abraham, and Mr. Antonio McBeef, who is his producer. And we won. So part of our winnings are we get free lunch at 12 today at noon at Dreamland Barbecue. So if you want to come hang out with us on University Drive, that's where we'll be at noon.
Come eat lunch with us today at Dreamland.
You can come shake our hands, rub
ain't
our
nothing like them nowhere.
Rub our bellies, whatever you like to do. You can do it to us. And then he now has to come do his show in studio, which is something he's done like once since he's been back on the air with the ump.
Wow.
Like literally once he's got to do that in studio today. And he's
so
off.
In other words, you're saying he has to go to work today.
Yeah. Well, hold on. I mean, it just means he doesn't get to wear his like basketball shorts while he's doing a show like I usually do.
Okay.
And he has to change his bumper music, the one coming back from break, to Cole Kublik's type.
Ooh.
Now, we're being very specific today. We want rap that's going to tick him off. We want rap that's going to make him want to yell the entire day. So, Cole, I've gone through your rotator and picked some songs, and you tell me whether or not you think this will be good enough to put in Tom's rotator for today to sort of tick him off.
Let's give it a shot.
Okay. So, the first one that I have, this one is called In Threes. You tell me if this is good enough to tick him off.
No, this is a little too light. Beastie Boys, Check Your Head. This is more, you know, there's some funk involved in this. He might actually be into this.
All right, then I will then move on to
such a good album.
A little song called Lemonade by Gucci Mane.
Yeah.
Does this make it in? All right, so this one's going to make it in. You'll hear this as bumper music with Tom Abraham today. That's good. I like it. We're starting. You all right over there?
Gucci.
Let's go with a little Sea Murder.
Now, you're stealing this from Alabama.
Okay, granted. I will.
The Million Dollar Band invented this. You can't steal it from them.
So does that mean he'll like it because it's coming from Alabama?
It's stolen. What I'm saying is Alabama was the first person to ever play that song.
Okay.
So you're stealing it from them.
All right, what if we do go with a Lil Wayne? A little Lil Wayne.
I do think you should play it, though.
A little Go DJ?
Crap.
Would this tick Tom off enough? I think this should go in.
Give it a second.
This hits
go
hard.
Go DJ. Let my DJ. I like it.
That hits hard enough to, I think, get him
it's probably
riled
not a good
up.
Segment if I'm just singing whether or not I like these songs. It's my bumper music. Yeah, I should like all of them.
You should. Now, this one you don't like, but maybe we put it in there to annoy him.
No.
Now, no, I know you don't like it, but
there's only two people in North Alabama I hate bad enough that they should have this on their radio show every day, and Tom Abraham is not one of them.
All right, fair enough. So no Nuck If You Buck by the Crime Mob.
That's the worst.
How about a little Swag Surfing?
This is a little light.
Little light. It hits in a second.
This song, you know what this intro reminds me of? I know it goes into that, but what was that Nelly? Start It Over. What was that Nelly song that did like this? And it goes, is it Country Grammar starts that way?
It could be Country Grammar. I had to look up Country Grammar. So Swag Surfing, no?
No, I don't like that.
Okay, now I think we get like 8 or 7 of them today because of his breaks, and one of them is a specialty break. So
how about specialty?
Yeah, well, you know. How about some Mask Off by Future? It's a little, I mean, I like how it sounds, but I just don't know if that's going to be enough to like annoy Tom enough.
Yeah, I don't. I would find something else.
Okay, how about a little Oxycontin?
Pass.
Why? This works.
It takes a little while to get going.
I can make it to where it starts right at the hard part.
No, this is like a Jason Voorhees song.
Okay,
I'm not big into that. Well, how about for my show?
How about a classic?
Anything Kanye should be on Tom Abraham's show. All day.
This is where it's his intramurals.
Okay. I'm anxious to hear him act like he likes these songs.
Okay, all right.
Oh, that's not bad.
All right, let's see what else we can find. How about, speaking of Kanye.
It's a great song.
Should this make it?
Yeah. Frank Mir used to come out to this song in UFC.
Yeah, I totally believe you.
It's amazing.
How about?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, so we're right around the number, but I need a couple
Swine
extra.
On the back, G-Wagon, Soulfly?
I don't know. I have no idea what you're saying.
When it comes to these cars, I am that. Gucci.
You're that fly,
the,
ride that fly.
Yeah.
Let's see. How about a little more Lil Wayne?
Well, he's the daddy to like 9. Is that right? 9? So Stunned Like My Daddy makes sense for the Tom Abraham show.
Okay. All right.
So that actually feels appropriate.
So that can make it. How about a song that I've taken out of your rotator, by the way?
Oh. Yeah, that's sufficient punishment.
All right, I like this.
Dave Cube loves this jam.
He's good. Did you really?
Have you not seen the video of her dancing to this?
The shoulder shrug? Like she's in the truck, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, now I remember. Oh, man. We're gonna piss him off so much today. How about Run the Jewels?
Nah.
It's annoying enough for him.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
It's not, yeah.
Let's do a...
It's very kind of like a, like set up a new scene of a movie type song.
Okay, well,
I think you could be okay with it.
Let's do a couple more before we get to tweets. How about, I thought I knew this guy's name off the top of my head. I don't, but you'll tell me.
Big Pun?
Yeah, I didn't know that name. No. No. Was that his name, Big Pun? Lean Back Dirt Off My Shoulder?
No, not Big Pun, sure.
Oh.
It's his boy, though. It's Big Pun's boy.
Yes, no. This doesn't feel hard enough.
Fat Joe.
Yeah, Fat Joe. That's the name, yeah. I don't feel like that's
Big Pun
be...
and Fat Joe were basically the same person for a while. Anyway,
no, they really
died.
Okay, one I think is... I can't remember if this. I've taken this out of the rotator yet.
Boom, boom. This is Beerus' favorite track, Money on the Flow.
Money on the Flow it is. So, yes, no?
Yeah, I'd say.
It's a lukewarm,
it's a good
yeah.
One.
I think it's a lukewarm yes to get in. Because, again, it's not that these aren't good tracks. These are tracks that we're looking... Oops.
I'm not a fan of that one.
You're not a fan of that one? We're looking for ones that specifically... are really geared toward pissing off Tom Abraham today because he has to have these songs in his rotator because he lost a bet, Cole. He lost a bet and he's got to pay up today. All right, Cole, how about this one? Oh, I kind of think...
Creep on in.
I think... Should we let it... Like, should I fast forward it like for him to where it kind of hits?
Whoa! California seems so I got it's fire.
Mm-hmm.
I got fire. It's like I could sing this entire song right now.
You almost just did. Okay, so that's lukewarm there.
I love that.
And I think I got one.
I think he would hate that, by the way. So I'd say yes.
I think I got one more. Did we play this one earlier? No. This is. Now, is
Here's
this
my,
too classic?
I got one
he
question
made, he
about
classically
this song.
Like, about
I've
this
always
one.
Wanted to know, why is it a positive that Ice Cube's mom cooks a breakfast with no hog? Does he not like bacon?
I guess not.
He doesn't like sausage.
I
no
guess
ham
not.
In his omelet.
Not a little bit at all.
Now, I think I know why back then, but still.
Is it because they called police officers something? Like they called them hogs?
I'll tell you in the break. let's get the 10 after tweets brought to you by First Amendment Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
Tom's going to hate today so much.
Bama
he's
going
to buy us food. He's got to come to work in a studio. And he's going to have to listen to your music.
Bama Zach. And you know what the best part about that was? That wager was his idea.
Yeah.
You and I didn't
crazy.
Throw that at
We're
him.
We're like, yeah, we'll do that.
He was forcing that on us, pushing it hard. And I was like, I don't want to get involved in this. All right. Bama Zach tweets, thanks, Arky, for getting the sound fix on the FM side. No more adjusting the sound in the car. Hashtag yes!
Yeah, you're welcome, Bama Zach. We're working on more adjustments, too. By the way, should take this to mention, the FM signal is 103.9. It does not go as far as our AM signal as far as distance. So if you lose us at any point, 7:30 AM will take you much further. It's just, it's not as clear. I mean, it's not as crystal clear. Like, you still hear us really good.
Dan Strickland tweets, at BamaDan3, there's only two people in North Alabama I hate enough to put this on their radio show, at Cole Kublik.
Is it like Mojo and Dee Dee? They're our neighbors. I don't know why you would say that.
Four. At Mr. John D tweets at Cube Show, Cole, what do you think about offensive lineman positions giving away run or pass by body position? Happens often. Mm. Happens all the time when I'm studying some of these teams. You see guys sitting light in their stance. They barely got their hand on the ground, so you know they're pulling or you know it's a pass play right off the bat. You also get guys whose hips and pads are just turned.
This is a perfect because this kid is coming at an excerpt out of Phil Savage's new book, who we'll have on this week. We will have him on Thursday.
Yes, Phil's joining us Thursday morning in the 7 o'clock hour.
He's got a new book where he says that one of the excerpts of his books that Phil noticed that the Texas A&M offensive linemen were giving away run or pass based on how they adjusted their stance, and that he told that to Nick Saban, and Saban told Reuben Foster basically what to look for, and Reuben Foster ended up having, like, I don't know, 13 or 14 tackles in that game. He had a big game. Maybe it was, like, just 10. But he ended up having a pretty darn good game, and that was one of the excerpts from this book. We'll ask all about that. Trust me. We will get into the Nick Saban, Lane Kiffin, what Lane Kiffin said to set off Nick Saban. We want to hear from the horse's mouth, and we will coming up on Thursday. Because, man, that's good stuff.
Following on Malaysia's tweets, you have to throw in Bad and Bougie by Migos and Jumpman by Drake in there. I would go back-to-back if you're going to go a Drake song. But Bad and Bougie Migos, I kind of agree with, even though it's somewhat of an annoying song, I think you would just hate it.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. The goal of today is to make Tom Abraham want to quit. Like Nick Saban says, we want to make his ass quit. That's basically how bad we want this to be for him. So go ahead and enjoy that, Mr. Abraham. And we'll see you at the main office in a couple hours.
You will.
We're going to start this day. Well, the main office, I mean Dreamland. That's what I call the main office. By the way, today's going to be my first Dreamland experience. I'm excited.
You should be excited.
I was waiting for this moment to be able to have the Dreamland for the first time, and it's going to be awesome. Cole's going to show me what to get, right?
Yep.
This is going to be great. This is going to be great. You're gonna suggest some pudding, aren't you?
You have to have the banana pudding. You have to at least try it. That's just how it works. But no, it happens all the time. I mean, I can watch film and oftentimes see a right guard and say, he's pulling. Or see a tackle and say, that's pass. These guys give it away all the time. Now, I don't as often see situations where the entire group is giving away run or pass.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you're saying Phil was saying in his book.
Yeah, he's saying that it may not have been all of the group. It may have been a couple of guys in the line. It may have been the entire line. That didn't get that specific in the book because no one's really got the book yet. And it's one of the AL.com guys got an advanced copy and read some of the excerpts of it.
Humble brag on them.
Enjoy them, my friend.
We're not good enough for advanced copies around here.
I feel like maybe we should call them Thursday and be like, hey, maybe send that over here, brother.
We're only having them on the show to promote it.
Well, so. We only play your games every single Saturday. Maybe we'll send one of them over here.
How are you with members of a broadcast team helping a coaching staff with information?
I'm okay with it. I mean, you're getting paid by them. So, I mean, technically.
So if I went to
Auburn and
Gus Malzahn and said, hey, man, I'm noticing that Clemson's offensive line is doing this.
It's a little different for you because you're not getting paid by the Auburn Radio Network or anything like that. You're getting paid by the SEC and ESPN. Uh-huh. Well played, Mr. Kublik. Well played. We need to make some discussions during the break, maybe over some lunch at Dreamland.
Mm-hmm. We'll be there. You got to have ribs. You have to have ribs.
This tweet comes from Chris Croce. If Ed Arcuchet wants wide, comfortable shoes to do anything in it, he says, check out this company. I've never heard of them, but I'm sure they're a running company. He says, shoes are pricey, but last. I've used four running. I'm not going to be running, Chris.
Yeah, but you were bragging about buying running shoes yesterday.
I wasn't bragging about it. Just do shoes that fit and look kind of cool. And you even said,
now,
like,
Brooks,
there are four for you.
Brooks makes great functional running shoes. But as far as looking good for walking around, no.
Yeah, and that's all I was looking for.
No,
not good?
By the way, Dan Strickland just shut the show down at BamaDan3 at Cube Show. Annoying song? It's a no-brainer, guys. Panda.
My version, though. My version.
Which would be better.
Not,
either way, you have to have that in.
Who sings Panda? What's his name?
Designer.
Designer, yeah.
I'd like to see each other.
It's spelled really weird. Isn't it spelled with like a dollar sign and like two eyes?
I can't keep up with it. Hieroglyphics, I think.
It's very weird.
Michael Blackburn tweet, how about X Gonna Give It To You by DMX? Seems like Tom would love that one. Yeah, you can't play that because it's got him barking in it, so Tom would think it was for him.
Oh, that's true. You think I started looking for all barking?
Who's this rapper in the doghouse? That's not going to work. We can't do that one. Bama B. Ritz tweets in, Rastahorn? As far as a song?
So a 58-second clip of that. This would be the day I wouldn't listen to the Tom Abraham show. Yeah. That
heavy hit.
That sucks a lot. Saul, don't do that. Please stop.
Exclusive!
The Vuvuzela is better than that.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Hey, call this.
I did used to have a Vuvuzela app. You could just hit
an
it.
App? Call the University of Alabama tweets, UA's economic impact for the 2015-16 home football games had a statewide impact of $175.5 million, which is $25.1 million per game.
I love this.
To the university, that because of the University of Alabama and their football team.
Two things here.
Holy smokes.
Number one, remember when we talked to Wright Waters a long time ago and he said, the economic impact of a big SEC home game, even non-conference game, a big school's home game, is the equivalent of a BCS bowl payout.
Yep.
Which back then was what, like 10, 12 million?
Yeah.
To the school? So you can see where that's very possible. And a lot of people are going to look at those numbers and just say, bam, we got 25 million. Doesn't quite work that way. Also, I think it's more intriguing to note that 2008... if I'm not mistaken, was that first neutral site opener that Nick Saban played in?
Has he played
in one every year? 2008 was Clemson. 2009 was Virginia Tech. 2010, I don't think they had one. The San Jose State opened the season. 2011 didn't have one. 2012, Michigan. 2013,
is that really 5 years ago?
Virginia Tech. 2014 was West Virginia. 2015, Wisconsin. 2016, USC. So that's 8 minus 2, so that would be 6 of those games. So sounds to me like if I did 25 times 6 minus a little bit, we'd say roughly $120, $140 million Nick Saban has caused the state of Alabama.
I knew you'd spin this the right way. I knew you'd spin it the way it needed to be. We could have had so much more money. We wouldn't even worry about budget issues in this state.
Our governor wouldn't need to be flying back to get his wallet in a helicopter.
Mike Spark.
Or buying burner phones at like, Best Buy.
Mike Spark. He would have bought a plan, like a wireless plan. Is that what he would have had?
You guys want him to be the governor? He's costing us $150 million over the last 8 years?
Doesn't sound like a guy I'd vote for. Mike Sparkman tweets, Ed Arkishay, please fire at Cole Kubrick if he ever plays with that damn noisemaker ever again. Well, that was his mouth that time. I can't fire him for that one.
All right, we'll be back to rank coaches as recruits next.
Scattered showers or storms this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 88. The low tonight, 68. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds. Again, the chance of scattered showers and storms, especially tomorrow afternoon. The high at 87. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
We talk plenty of ball. We're just better at it. The Cube Show.
Let's rank some coaches back here in the Southern RV Wholesale Studio. Go to srvwholesale.com. Come join us at Dreamland today, noon. be having some lunch right there on University near Jordan Lane.
I am tickled giddy getting ready for that. Is it noon yet? Okay, let's do the show so we can get some lunch. Cole, just a couple of conferences left to give these star rankings, and then we have to actually rank them 1 to 128, which will be a lot easier with the star system that we have now.
Okay.
So once we figure out where they stack up. Today, Cole, just one of two conferences left. The Mountain West is up, and there are some interesting numbers in here that I was not privy to and was not thinking about when I started doing some research. So, Cole, let's light it up. Starting first at the Mountain West with Air Force is Troy Calhoun. Now, if you don't know, this is our star rating system. Just like recruits, you can get up to 5 stars. You get a star for bowl games, for bowl wins, for getting 10-win seasons, for conference championships, and for national championships. You can get up to 5 stars. If Cole doesn't agree with a star ranking, we can go up or down 1, but the formula is that. Cole, Troy Calhoun has had 10 seasons at Air Force, 9 bowls, 4 bowl wins, 2 10-win seasons, no conference or national championships. The system has Troy Calhoun as a 3-star head coach. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I don't have really too many quabbles.
I view him as kind of an overachiever a little bit.
Speaking of overachievers, let's go to Boise State where Brian Harsin is. 4 seasons, excuse me, now as a head coach. His last 3 have been at Boise State. 4 bowl games in each of his years. 2 bowl wins, 1 he did not coach, and that was when he left Arkansas State to go to Boise. 2 10-win seasons, 2 conference championships, no national championships. In 4 years, this system has Brian Hartson as a 4-star head coach.
I would agree.
Do you think so? He went from 7-5 at Arkansas State to 12-2 at Boise, 9-4, then 10-3 last year.
I think he's done an excellent job. Now, keep in mind, he took over that Arkansas State program after they had gone back-to-back-to-back one-and-done seasons. So that was sort of a difficult spot to be in. I think Brian Harsin's a really good coach.
All right. I mean, I'll allow the 4-star conversation. He may be on the bottom end of the 4 stars. When we get to finally rank them, but he'll stay 4 stars for now. Let's go to Colorado State.
I wasn't arguing for a 5th, but
you can't have a 5th if you don't have a national championship.
I wasn't arguing for that.
Come on, bro. Mike Bobo at Colorado State has 2 seasons there, bowl games in both seasons, but has lost all of them. No conference championships, no 10-win seasons, no national championships. 1-star head coach for Mike Bobo. I think that may be kind of low. I think it's maybe a 2-star coach to get Colorado State to back-to-back bowl games.
It's pretty good, yeah. Now, Mac left him in a pretty good spot, so.
That's true. So, I guess then
I would go at least 2 stars. Come on.
Okay, well, then he's got to go up to Mac's 2. The new head coach at Fresno State is Jeff Tedford. Of course, he spent his previous 11 seasons at Cal. 8 bowls, 5 bowl wins. 2 10-win seasons, and a conference championship back in 06. No national championships. Jeff Tedford is a 4-star head coach, according to this.
Wow. I can't agree with it.
Yeah, I can't either. Because that one conference championship really kind of skews this.
Yeah, but there have been so many instances, and he's got a nice bowl record, but there have been so many instances in which I felt like he had more talent and just didn't get over the hump and didn't get it done in the way that they probably should have, is why I would bump him down.
His last 3 seasons at Cal, 5-7, 7-6, and 3-9, most recently. Cole, Nick Rolovich is the head coach where?
Hawaii. He just offered a 6th grader a scholarship, or maybe 5th, and Kiffin offered the 6th grader.
And I think that's the only reason we would know who he is and where he's at, because this is only going to be his 2nd season in Hawaii. Last year they went 7-7. Can you do that? 7-7. So they had 1 bowl game. They did win. What bowl do you think Hawaii won last year?
I'm just going to go down a limb and say Hawaii.
They won the Hawaii Bowl. Hey. You're right. They won the Hawaii Bowl. So Nick Rolovich is a 2-star head coach according to this system. Yes, no? No.
Can't be.
No, I mean, he just got to a bowl. That's all he did and won one. He had 14 games to try and do it. That feels like a little bit of a. It doesn't even make sense. 1 star.
Let's now move forward to Nevada's Jay Norville. You may remember Jay Norville being a former wide receiver coach and passing game coordinator at Arizona State. Well, now he is a first-time head coach in Nevada. So first-time head coach means no bowls, no wins, no 10 wins, no conference, no national. Zero-star head coach. Fair?
Fair, thank yeah. You.
Let's go to an interesting name, Bob Davie at New Mexico. Interesting, he went 11 seasons between his last season in Notre Dame and joining New Mexico. He has 5 bowl appearances, just 1 bowl win, though. No 10-win seasons, no conference, and no national championships. This has him as a 2-star head coach. I may argue for a 3rd if I just look at what New Mexico's done the last 2 years, which is get to bowl games, and last year win 9 games. But at Notre Dame, I mean, he kind of underachieved. 7-6, 9-3, 5-7, 9-3, 5-6, losing all 3 bowl games that they were in. I don't know. I'm struggling with this one. 2 or 3 stars? The system has him as a 2-star coach.
I think I'd be okay with the 2-star coach. Just
underachieved in Notre Dame, but kind of overachieving in New Mexico.
Wait. Going to 2 bowl games is well past overachieving.
Okay, well,
I mean, this program was a joke when he took over. So now, it wasn't UNLV a few years ago, but they were pretty bad. So, yeah, I think he deserves a little more credit for getting this team to 2 consecutive bowls.
Okay, so we can give him up to 3 stars.
Where do you even recruit in New Mexico?
Have you been to Albuquerque?
Nope.
Cole Rocky Long is the head coach of San Diego State, and this guy has been around for a long time. 17 seasons overall, 11 bowl games, just 4 bowl wins, though. 2 10-win seasons, 3 conference championships, no national championships. Now, he's also coached before at New Mexico and since 2011 at San Diego State. Rocky Long's a 4-star head coach according to this system. I mean, he hasn't had a huge job, so to speak. I mean, San Diego State's his best job. He's had 54-26 there, with 65-69 in New Mexico. Is 4-star too high? It feels high, but he's won multiple conference championships.
Man, he's done a really nice job at San Diego State. Really nice job. And let's go back to what we said when we started doing this, that we must force ourselves to judge these coaches on who they're doing it against, where they are, and who they're doing it against. We can't put him on the same platform as Harbaugh, Urban, Saban, and Dabo. So from that perspective, I'd say, yeah, 4-star head coach.
Yeah, it wasn't just a 1 conference championship. 3 conference championships is good. He's won 2 out of the last 5 Mountain West Conference championships, including 3 out of the last 5, including back-to-back in the last 2 years.
Back-to-back 11-win seasons? That's pretty good. I don't care what conference you're in.
Cole, let's go to San Jose State, where Brent Brennan is the head coach. That's right, Brent.
I'm sorry?
Brent Brennan is the head coach. If you want to know what he used to do, he was the wide receiver coach at Oregon State and some offensive stuff he did there, I guess, last year. First year, so nothing, which means he's a 0, right?
Yeah.
Going to Utah State.
Especially since we'd never even heard of his name.
Going to Utah State. Excuse me, I skipped UNLV real quick. UNLV, Tony Sanchez is in his 3rd season. Now, where was he before? Well, he was coaching the back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back NIAA 4A state champion Bishop Gorman.
That's a powerhouse high school out there in Vegas.
Not Nevada Athletic Association. They went 85-5 during that time. That's pretty good. But now, since he's been at UNLV, just 7-17 in 2 seasons. So he's got nothing besides 2 years there. 0-star head coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of.
I hate doing the 0 stars for these guys, but yeah.
He did go from 3-9 to 4-8.
Okay.
So there's a little bit to look forward to. Now to Utah State, where Matt Wells is the head coach. Matt Wells has been there since 2013. He's had 4 seasons, 3 bowl games. He's won 2 of them, 1 10-win season, which was back in 2014. No conference or national championships. Last year was 3-9, and the year before that was 6-7, and the year before that 10-4. A little bit of a downswing. So the system has a 3-star head coach. I would argue maybe even 2, because he took over and went 9-5, 10-4, and since then it's been 6-7, 3-9.
You know, that program was in pretty good standing when he took over. So I would probably go with you, and I would argue that down to 2.
All right, and now we go finally to Wyoming, where Craig Bohl is the head coach. Greg Bowl was formerly the head coach of North Dakota State until 2014. And since he's been at Wyoming, he's gone 4-8, 2-10, and then 8-6. He's got one bowl game, did not win the Poinsettia Bowl last year. No 10-win seasons, no conference or national championships. Did win the conference division title last year in the Mountain West.
That's with Josh Allen and Brian Hill. No Brian Hill this year, but he is going to have Josh Allen coming back. I'm intrigued to see what they can do.
One-star head coach according to our system. Yes, no?
I'd give him two.
I mean, he did get up to 8-6, and he did.
And the team was pretty bad when he took over.
Somehow he got Josh Allen on his team.
Give him credit for that one.
It was going to be like maybe the number one pick next year.
Very good chance.
Okay, so before we go to Bill Bender, we have 2 4-star coaches in Brian Harsin and Rocky Long. And
I'm cool with both of those.
A couple of threes, including Troy Calhoun, Jeff Tedford, and Bob Davey, and a whole bunch of twos and ones.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, next week we round it out with the Southeastern Conference.
And then we're done?
And then we start... actually giving a number ranking, 1, 2, 3, 4, who is the very best head coach in all of the country, we will start revealing as the summer continues.
Bill Bender of the Sporting News talks toughest college football games in 2017 right after this. Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. Glad to welcome in Bill Bender of the Sporting News to the show. At Bill Bender 92, you can follow him on Twitter. Covers college football, amongst other things, for the Sporting News. Bill, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Cool. Thanks for having me on.
You reference the almost Ole Miss mascot in Admiral Akbar with his, of course, timeless warning, "It's a trap" in Star Wars. Discussing trap games coming up this season, 2017, as far as college football is concerned. Which ones maybe stick out? You have a list, but which ones maybe stick out for you more than others?
Well, you know, yeah, and it disturbs me how many people don't know who Admiral Akbar is. You know, that's a great reference to Star Wars, obviously. But, you know, to me, a trap game can mean anything, and there's a lot we kind of pointed out here. You know, we can start on the top with Alabama. I talked to some Alabama fans about it, and it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to lose. But that game at Mississippi State on November 11th could be uncomfortable.
Really? Because that's one that I have taken an absolute beating for saying that I think Alabama loses this offseason, Bill. So glad that you're potentially on board with that one.
Well, yeah. I mean, they have Nick Fitzgerald. They have a good team. You know the cowbells are going to be ringing. And it's in that spot where it's in between the LSU-Auburn games, which are obviously big money games for Alabama. Now, I won't go as far to say they're going to lose, but it wouldn't surprise me one bit if at that point in the season that that's a really uncomfortable game for the Crimson Tide.
And one thing I've talked about this year in the SEC especially is sort of contrast in style games and that could be problematic. You got Georgia and Kentucky as one late in the season. I think Kentucky can enter October, maybe even get to middle, late October, still with the chance to play their way into Atlanta. But you think this is a dangerous one for Georgia on November the 18th?
Oh, yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, Kentucky was kind of hanging around last year. And, you know, they've obviously improved through recruiting, a team that's played Georgia close a couple times in the past. And I think this is one that, you know, like I said, they won that game 27-24 last year. And I granted this one's at home, but anytime, that's what I said, the trap game can be a home game. It could be one that you don't see coming and a team comes in ready to play. And like you said, if Kentucky's in the hunt, they'll come out and give them a good shot that day.
How much did you take into consideration just, I guess, perceptionally or historically how teams play at certain places? Because I like that you have Auburn at Arkansas on October the 21st, really having nothing to do with who is before, after, or when bye weeks come in, which is part of your explanation. But just the fact that it seems to me like Auburn struggles at Arkansas a lot of times when they shouldn't. Not every year, but a lot of times Auburn goes over to Fayetteville and just doesn't meet expectations.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because with SEC places, I don't 100% have that feel sometimes of, you know, a place where a team just has trouble. Now, we talk Big Ten, yeah, I can tell you every place where a team just traditionally doesn't play well. And that's like you said with Auburn, it's just one of those places where that might not be an uncomfortable game so much as it could be just a wild game. It could be a shootout. It could be a lot of turnovers. you know, when you have Brett Bielema and Gus Malzahn involved, it could get a little crazy. And I don't see why, you know, like you said, there's no rhyme or reason for it, but that's one of those games that could stick out.
Bill Bender of the Sporting News joining us, talking college football trap games for 2017. You point to the game for Louisville at NC State on October the 5th. This is a kind of, when you talk about that, when you talk about matchups in college football, Lamar Jackson's exciting. The Louisville offensive line was atrocious a year ago, and I think NC State has a top five front seven in college football coming back this year, so that could really be problematic for Lamar Jackson in that offense. But you think early October could be trouble for the Cardinals?
Yeah, I mean, NC State's got a defensive line that with Chubb that could make it interesting. And you know, that's a team, like you said, another place in Carter-Finley where it's not easy to play. I've been there a couple times. It's one of those underrated ACC venues. And with Lamar Jackson, you know, this is a team that, like you said, the offensive line is going to have to be more physical this year. I think it went downhill with the Houston game that exposed them last year. And Lamar Jackson's really good, but this is one of those spots where I think they're going to have a little trouble when they go down there.
Visiting with Bill Bender of the Sporting News. You're mentioning 2017 trap games. LSU at Ole Miss. I'm intrigued to know why you think maybe Ole Miss could be a problem for LSU.
You know, that was a tough one. That was admittedly one of the tough ones. And, you know, my defense for it was, you know, for LSU originally I was going to put BYU. And then I put BYU with Wisconsin. I was like, well, I better not put BYU for every game. So, you know, at Ole Miss, a team that it's going to be hard to read. You don't know what spot they're going to be in with, you know, not being playing in a bowl game and everything that's going on there. But like last year with Georgia, I think there'll be that one game where Ole Miss really shows up, probably at home, and probably throws it all over the place with Shea Patterson, and this could be that game.
We're visiting with Bill Bender, talking trap games for 2017 across the landscape of college football. Florida at South Carolina. This is one that I really like because I think South Carolina is going to be really good on offense. I question their defense, but I don't know if Florida is going to be built to withstand track meet style games. I think Jake Bentley can get into a few of those games and probably score at will. Now, Florida's defense is going to be a lot better than South Carolina, so if we're just matching up the two teams, it's obviously a little bit different. But what about this one? This one kind of has a bit of an intriguing new age rivalry perspective with Muschamp going from Florida to South Carolina. Of course, Spurrier, a legend at Florida who ended his career at South Carolina. How much of that played into what this game could turn into?
Oh, I think so. I mean, they'll downplay it. A guy like Will Muschamp's not going to, like, use that angle at all, I don't think, even if it is in the back of his head. But you just said it. If it's an ugly game, if it's one that's based on defense and you know, just kind of grinding out yards and first downs, Florida will win that game. But if Jake Bentley can ratchet up the tempo, I do think their offense with that better supporting cast is going to be pretty good. And Williams-Brice, that's a place that Spurrier made it a tough place to play. I mean, just that Georgia game, the one year, the primetime game, really stands out. Now can Will Muschamp do the same and kind of build through recruiting? That's why I think, like, I like the way you put it in terms of, it might not seem like it now, but over the next 2, 3, 4 years, that South Carolina-Florida game is really going to take on more importance.
How much do you're looking at these trap games, potentially what they could be. How big of a deal is schedule when you look at some of these teams, but not just, okay, how difficult are the venues they're playing in? Where do you think the opponents will be ranked when they play them? But sort of how the schedule plays out, Bill, because I've talked a lot about one of the reasons I think Kentucky can have a pretty good season this year is how the schedule's laid out for the Wildcats. I mean, they go over a month in the middle of the season with one road game. The road games that they do play in conference, 3 of those 4 teams went 3-5 in conference a season ago. You got a pretty easy start to the season, which can kind of help your team get into a groove, get into a feel. How much do you take that into account when just looking at what's around these teams as to potentially having a slip up somewhere?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, and you look at if a team, you know, has a bunch of heavy hitters in a row, and then will they just get tired? It's hard in college to bounce back from that. I know one team on here that stood out last year was Wisconsin, and the grinder that they played, you know, they played LSU, and then they played Ohio State, Michigan, and Iowa, and they just had this meat grinder schedule. So yeah, you wonder, can a team win that one, win the one 2 weeks from that, and that game in the middle, you know, you always got to, whether it's emotional letdown or looking ahead, yeah, I always look at those kind of things just to see if you can spot that. And the example I'd give there is Michigan, a team that's got a bunch of Big Ten East showdowns, and then P.J. Fleck in Minnesota is going to roll into town in the middle of that, and that's one of those games that could catch Michigan by surprise.
Bill, always good stuff. Appreciate the time, and look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Anytime, Cole. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Bill Bender with the Sporting News, talking potential trap games for 2017. He mentioned Wisconsin. He has Wisconsin at number 13 at BYU September 16th. That's an early game. This Wisconsin schedule this year is an absolute joke. There's no reason they shouldn't be in the Big Ten title game. I don't know if you've seen it or not. We can run through it when we come back on the other side. Gerard Powers is going to be in studio at 9:20. But this Wisconsin schedule this year is tailor-made for them to make another run to the Big Ten title game. Back with more Cube Show right after this.